like to invite you this morning to John chapter 21. Listening to the missionary report and the missionary prayer, as I think about a missionary's heart and reading some of the reports of these guys, that as they're off the field, their heart, their desire is to be on the field with the people, ministering. But sometimes we have to be where we don't want to be. Sometimes we have to go where we do not want to go. And that is the title of the message today, Where You Don't Want to Go. As we think upon that, anyone with a sensible mind would say they don't want to go to hell. Amen. We don't want to go there. But people are there. And there is a way out. Through the blood of Christ, through the sacrifice of Jesus, you can be born again. You can have your sins forgiven. You can be made right with God. Now, to the children here today, is there any places that you don't like to go? Y'all like to go to the dentist, right? Like to go to the doctor? You like to go grocery shopping with mom and dad? Well, maybe some don't. You like to go to bed, right? It's amazing how that changes when you get older, isn't it? You like to take a nap? Yeah. Take a bath. Sometimes we have to do that. You know, I think about men like Brother Jimmy and Brother Luke and the ministry that they have in the prisons and the heart that they have for that. And I'm thankful that by the grace of God, I've never been incarcerated. And that's definitely a place I would not want to be. But if I was, I would thank God for men like them, amen, that would come and bring the word. Now, I have been in jails. I've visited, sadly, family members and people I've pastored or family of people that I pastored in jails, preached in prisons and in jails. But that's not a place I would want to go. I'm saying all this to make that point, that sometimes we do have to go where we don't want to go. And as we make our journey through life, we're going to encounter things. I just got louder, didn't I? We're going to encounter things that we don't want to encounter. We're going to find ourselves in places and predicaments and circumstances that we would rather not be. Our text this morning has really been running through my mind for several months as I thought about this discourse and the things that are happening in this passage. And as I thought about it, my mind went to many of you and the situations that you find yourself in or that you were in recently or have been in. And those are places that you would just rather not be. My heart aches with those that ache. My soul weeps with those who weep. So we will sometimes go where we don't want to go. Now, within the context here of John chapter 21, we'll read the passage toward the end of the chapter there in a minute, but within this passage, Jesus has been crucified, he's been buried, he's been resurrected. He's appeared to them a couple of times, but they decide that they're going to go fishing. And so they go on a fishing expedition that took all night. And they fished throughout the night and they caught nothing. The next morning they see someone on the shore and the person calls out, "Have you caught any fish? Have you any meat? Do you have anything?" And they reply, "We do not." The person calls back and says, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship." So they cast the net on the right side of the ship, and up to this point, they don't know who's speaking to them. They don't know who it is. But when they began to draw the net, and they cannot draw the net because there are so many fish in the net, they realize who is on the shore. So much so that Peter jumps out of the boat and he begins to swim toward the Lord. And as they arrive there to the shore, Jesus has started a fire. He has some bread and he says, "Bring of the fish that you've caught." And so they try to bring the fish up and they discover that they have 153 fish in the net. Now, what's the significance of 153 fish? Why did he give us that number? Just because that's how many fish were in the net. There's really no significance to it other than it was more than enough to break the net. And it didn't break the net. And so they bring the fish. Jesus prepares and serves them the fish. Then Jesus begins to speak with Peter. And he has the "Peter, do you love me?" discourse. "Yea, Lord, you know I love you." And each time Jesus tells him something, he says, "Feed my sheep. Feed my people. Feed the sheep." I really today, with the help of God, want to feed the sheep. I want to give you something that will help you, that will encourage you, that will challenge you, that will be a blessing to you, that will exalt the Lord. Now this brings us up to our text for today in verse 18. Let's begin reading there. We'll read 18 through 22. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself," or you clothed yourself, "and you walked where you wanted to go. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hand, and another will gird you or clothe you and carry you where you do not want to go. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is it that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Let's pray. Father, we do bow because we must. And we come to you in the name of your Son, to ask, Father, that you would bless the reading and the preaching of the Word. That, God, you would, in a way, anoint this Word so that it would speak to hearts and lives and help us today. Father, may your grace be sufficiently applied to our hearing, to our understanding, that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, that we might be conformed to his image. Father, maybe one are some here today that are not regenerated. They're not saved. Father, you would do a work in their heart to bring them to yourself, that you would awaken them, that you would regenerate them. Some, Father, on a path that's leading away from you, outside of your will, and they know it. And they need to return. They need to repent. They need to come to you. Father, let your word do its work for your glory, for your honor, for the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Now, at the beginning of our text, Jesus is saying something very important. Because he prefaces it with the verily, verily, or the surely, surely, or the truly, truly. Now, we know that every word that Jesus spoke is of utmost importance. Amen? Everything he spoke. But special emphasis are indicated when prefaced by the truly, truly, or the surely, surely. It's a double emphasis. Now, John is the only gospel writer that uses this double emphasis of the speaking of Jesus. And he records Jesus saying this 25 times in the Gospel of John. So Jesus is about to say something to Peter that he wants him to take to heart. He wants him to implant it in his mind, because Jesus here is going to reveal to Peter the means by which he will die and glorify God in that death. Now, it's a place that Peter don't want to go. But he's going to go. And Peter does take this to heart. He does implant it in his mind. Because in his second epistle, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, Peter writes, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." So he took it to heart. He remembered it. And he's listening. So Jesus says, "Truly, truly, surely, surely I say to you." Now, you remember when Jesus had told his disciples, was telling them that one of you is going to betray me, back in chapter 13. And Peter says, I won't. And so Jesus tells them, "I'm going to go away." Peter says, "Where are you going? Wherever you go, I want to go. I'll even go with you unto death." Jesus says, "No, Peter, you will follow me, but not now. As a matter of fact, before morning, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." And so in that discourse, Jesus said, "You will follow me later." Jesus is telling him here now how he's going to follow him. Jesus is about to go to his death. Jesus is telling Peter that you're going to follow me now in the future, and you're going to follow me in the death that I have appointed that is going to bring glory to God. Peter, Jesus says to him, "There was a time when you were younger, you would gather your stuff together and you would clothe yourself and you would go about your life as you wanted to go about your life. You would go where you wanted to go. But there's coming a time when you're going to be older and another is going to stretch forth your hands. And another is going to clothe you. And another is going to take you where you do not want to go. We don't truly know how Peter died, but tradition tells us that sure enough, he was crucified like the Lord was crucified, but not exactly like the Lord was crucified, because the story is told that Peter says, "Hang me upside down on the cross, because I'm not worthy to die the death of my Savior." The text here is speaking directly and definitively to Peter. So much so that Peter didn't want it to be all about him. What about John? What about John? What about this man? What's he going to do? You know, a lot of times when we're faced with a challenging time or we go through a hard time, we don't want to go through it alone, do we? Who can we bring into this with us? Or maybe if we're doing or going a way that we shouldn't be going, we're beginning to stray from the Lord and the will of the Lord, and we begin to not look at Christ, not look to His Word, but look to others. Say, well, they're doing this or they're doing that. We begin to justify our sins, justify our ways by the actions of others. But this is about what God is, what Christ is telling Peter and what He wants him to do. It's specifically for him. And some things that we go through are going to be designed, tailored just for us, specifically for us. This will be our burden to bear. It will be our load to carry for the purpose of glorifying God. So while this passage is directly and specifically for Peter, is there anything there for us? Is there any benefit here? Anything that we can apply? Anything that we can take to help us in our lives? And it's the title of the message. We're going to have to go through things that we don't want to go through. We're going to have to go places that we do not want to go. But our loving Heavenly Father sometimes takes us where we do not want to go for a reason, for a purpose. The emergency room is not a place we want to go. To the cancer doctor is not a person we want to go see. We go to cemeteries sometimes way too early. Now, while these are physical happenings that take us to physical places, there are spiritual and emotional happenings that take us where we do not want to go. The desert of depression is not a place we want to go. The slough of despond is not a pleasant place. A spiritual, dry, and barren wasteland is not a place we want to be. There may be some of you here today or some listening in, and because of the quarantine, because of where we find ourselves physically, it's caused us to wander away from God. Because of the fellowship of the saints has been limited, it's been hindered. You're in a dangerous place right now with your relationship with God. Maybe something else, or maybe someone else, has caused you to find yourself in a place totally outside of the revealed will of God for your life. Maybe you're living in open, blatant sin, and you know you're in a dangerous place. Turn around, dear saint of God. Repent and flee this place for the sake of your soul and for the glory of God. Get up and get out of there. Separate yourself. Come out from among that and be separate. And He will receive you. Come to Christ. Come to the Lord. Sometimes we go. Sometimes we find ourselves in places we do not want to be. But number two, we are sometimes where we do not want to be. Number two, we will never go where the Lord is not. At the end of verse 19, notice the last two words, follow me. Follow me. Peter had proclaimed earlier that he would follow Jesus wherever, even to death. Well, now he will. To this, Peter had proclaimed that he would follow Jesus anywhere, and now Jesus is telling him, you're going to follow me to death, and it's going to glorify God. It's hard for us to comprehend that, isn't it? That our death, or that death, glorifies God. Death is the last enemy. But death glorifies God. Beautiful in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. What man counts as glorious, God counts as nothing. The things that man esteems are detestable to God. With God, winners are losers, and losers are winners. With man, death is lost, but with Christ, to die is gain. God is beautifully and gloriously weaving and orchestrating all things together for our good and His great glory. Even our deaths, and in this text, especially our deaths. The Lord will never lead us where He's not. If He says, follow me, go. In the will of God is the safest place to be. Though it may seem all in disarray, all in discord, all confusing, it's not to God. He's doing something. He's up to something. He's bringing this to something that's going to be good. May not be pretty at the moment, but what it yields and what it produces in our lives. When the Lord is leading us and we're following Him and we're going through something that's tough, it may not be pretty at the time, but it is producing something that is extraordinarily beautiful in your life, because it is the image of His Son. Have not some of the most difficult times of our lives taught us the most important and beneficial lessons? What do we say? I'd never want to go through that again or want anyone to go through that. But I wouldn't take anything for what I learned through that. Things we could not have learned any other way. Some of the things that we learn in these times. Wherever the Lord leads us, He's there. He's there. Maybe you're thinking, God's presence, I just can't feel His presence. I just don't know if He's there anymore. Maybe He's left me. Can I ask you? Where could you go from His presence? How are you going to get away? Many have tried that. Jonah tried it, didn't he? He said, I'm going to Tarsus. He says, to flee the presence of the Lord. Good luck with that. He went right into the presence of the Lord. I love this psalm. Think about this as we're upon this. Psalm 139. Let's turn over there and take a look at that. Many passages that kind of speak this way, but this does it so beautifully. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts before they even come. You can pass my path and my laying down, and You're acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, You know it all together. You have beset me beside and before and laid Your hand upon me. When I think about this, it's hard for me to understand. It's too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain unto it. When I think about Your hand upon me, You guiding my life, You working in everything. Where shall I go from Your Spirit? Or where could I flee from Your presence? If I ascend into heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. That's amazing, isn't it? If I say, surely the darkness shall... I'm in a dark place. Even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from You, but the night shines as the day. The darkness as the light are both alike to You. He's there. He's there. If you're in a place you don't want to be, He's there. He's with you. The third point. We will always be where we need to be for God to accomplish His desires for our good and His glory. Wherever you are right now, in every area of your life, it's a combination and a culmination of every moment of your life that has ushered you to where you are right now. None of it has been a waste. God is using all of it for our good and His glory. He has a greater purpose, and that is to bring us into the conformity of His Son. Follow thou Him. That's too wonderful for me to comprehend. That all the mistakes and all the failures, all the things that are in my life that I wished were not there, all the places that I've gone that I shouldn't have, all the things that I've encountered that I didn't want to encounter, all of these things, not all of these things are good, but all of these things are working together for our good. That's how He does it. I want to leave you with these final words. God has not abandoned you. And you have not fled His presence. Listen to His voice. Follow me. Follow me. Let's stand and bow our heads. Father, what a promise that we have, that You've said that You will never leave us or forsake us. That whatever we are encountering or whatever that we face in the future, You're right there. Father, seal this message to our hearts. Allow it to help us in our time of trouble and need. Father, apply this salve to the hearts of Your people that are hurting. For Your glory, for Your namesake, let this minister great grace to them. For that straying one, for the one that's about to undo himself, herself. God, may they repent. May they turn to You. May they come to Christ for His name's sake.